Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Tom Jensen. My guest this week is Dr. Dan Grove. Dan is the wildlife veterinarian with Game and Fish Department. We're going to talk about several diseases that have popped up in our state's deer herd the past several years and could pop up again this year. Dan, let's talk about, first of all, EHD, what it is, where we've had outbreaks in the past.
Okay. EHD, it's short for epizootic hemorrhagic disease, which is one of two viruses in the hemorrhagic disease group. Other names for it are also blue tongue, and that's blue tongue viruses also cause a similar sign. This year, actually, we've gotten lucky. We've not had any reports at this point in time.
But we still could.
There's still the potential. We've gotten some good frosts, and so hopefully that'll kill off the midge that is critical in actually spreading the disease from animal to animal. Without the midge there to spread it, the disease doesn't usually spread. And you know, other states actually throughout the Midwest this year have had outbreaks, but we so far this year haven't seen anything.
You mentioned the midge that causes the EHD. Is that the only thing that causes it?
Well, the midge actually spreads the virus. And so without the midge to act as the vector between animals, the virus doesn't actually spread, because direct contact between animals won't cause the virus to spread. It actually needs to go through the life cycle of the midge and pass through the midge before it can be spread.
How can people tell if they find a deer that's had EHD?
It's kind of rough. You know, if they harvest one, they might see actually hoof lines. If the animal recovered from it, there'll be basically growth lines on the hoofs. There could be ulcers in the mouth. If they're out actually hunting other species, you know, upland game season and things like that is usually when we get our reports. Typically, you're going to see groups of animals near water. When they die, they're running a fever, and so they go towards water to try and cool off. And, you know, from the outside, it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with the animal because they die pretty acutely from the disease.
Do hunters have anything to fear about harvesting a deer that might have EHD?
No, EHD is not contagious to people at all. The only thing is if they harvest an animal that was running a fever, meat might rot a little bit quicker because the meat was a little hotter to begin with. And it might be a little off in taste just because, again, the animal was running a fever at the time it was harvested.
There is another disease that we've been monitoring for several years. We never had it for quite a long time. Chronic wasting disease, CWD, it's often referred to. Do we have any cases of that now or recently?
Last year, we did not have any with last fall harvest. We're monitoring in 3F2, that's where in 2009, the first CWD positive animal was harvested. In total, there's been 7 animals harvested out of 3F2, kind of in the same general area of that. You mentioned EHD earlier. We've actually seen losses in that area to EHD, and so that has actually probably kept the numbers of CWD down because the population isn't very large there. But then again, we still want to continue to monitor that because it is a disease that is long-term on the landscape. And once on the landscape, it'll probably always be there.
Is CWD, is that the reason that we've outlawed baiting in several of the units
yes.
adjacent to?
Yes, that is correct. In 3F2, as well as all of the units that actually border 3F2, we've banned hunting big game over bait. And that basically, we don't want to congregate animals that might potentially have disease and spread the disease to other animals. And so that's one of the tools that we're trying to use management-wise to prevent the disease from spreading any further than it is.
You mentioned the surveillance that you've been doing over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, and you've become mobile. You go to different areas of the state to monitor for CWD. Where are you this year?
We are in the eastern third of the state this year, kind of along the units that are along the Red River Valley, between Jamestown and the Red River Valley. Basically, every year we do a third of the state or try and get a third of the state done. We will sample animals that aren't from those units. We just, in terms of resources and time, are only able to get a third of the state done each year. And so every 3 years we're able to get a total sample from the state. But this year we'll be doing there as well as 3F2. We do 3F2 every year just because we know we have the disease there.
What can people do to voluntarily take part in this surveillance?
We've got about 20 to 25 different places in the eastern third of the state this year, as well as in 3F2 region, as in here in Bismarck too, where people can take their heads. Basically, if we just need the head, we can get the lymph nodes and the other samples that we need out of that. If you have a trophy buck, you can take it directly to a Game and Fish office, and each one of our district offices has somebody there that can actually sample that. If it's on the weekend, and you're not looking to do a European mount, and you can actually just take the antlers off in a V-cut and then turn the rest of the head in. We do need that head to be identified, though, because if we don't know where it came from, we can't sample it, because if we end up with a disease and we don't know where it came from, we don't know where, you know, to focus our efforts the next year.
Sure. What about hunters that are going out of state for big game?
There are restrictions in place for being able to, what you are allowed to bring back. Basically, boned out meat only.
Now, is this for states regardless of whether they have CWD?
No, it's only in states that have documented CWD in the wild or in captive populations. And so there are regulations in place. That's the CWD proclamation that's signed by the governor every year dictates, and we update that every year as new states in new areas and states. Some states it's listed by the hunting unit, and some states it's the whole state. It all depends on how widespread CWD is in that state.
And it basically restricts them on what they can bring back as far as heads,
yep.
Things like that. They can bring meat back.
Yes, you can bring the meat back, and you can actually bring the head back, but it needs to be, all the brain matter and tissue needs to be removed from it. So you already pretty much have to do a European mount before you bring it back, is the shortest version. Or if you bring back just the antlers again and the skull plate's been cleaned, you can bring that back also.
Who should they call if they have questions about these various diseases?
They can always call our main information line, and they'll be either put through to someone in enforcement or someone that has the correct information for them.
So you've got a busy fall ahead of you.
Yeah.
Dan, thanks.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a place to drop off your deer head for the CWD monitoring effort, you can find a complete list on the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov. The 2016 North Dakota firearms deer season opens at noon on November 4th and lasts until Sunday, November 20th. The muzzleloader season for deer opens the following Friday, November 25th, and ends on Sunday, December 11th. For Dr. Dan Grove and the rest of the staff here at North Dakota Game and Fish, thanks for joining us for Outdoors Online. See you again next week.